Chapter 46. Johnny DeLange leaned against the side wall of the haulage, his hard helmet tilted at a jaunty angle, and a cigarette dangling from his lips. Down at the face, the shots began to fire. Johnny recognized each detonation, and when the last dull jar disrupted the air about them, he pushed himself away from the wall with his shoulder. "That was the lifters," he announced. "Come on, Big King." Not for Johnny DeLange, a 30-minute waste of time. As he and Big King set off down the haulage together, they were binding scarves over their noses and mouths. Ahead of them, a bluey-white fog of dust and fumes filled the tunnel, and Big King had the hose going, using a fine mist spray to absorb the fumes and particles. They pushed on up to the face, Johnny stooping over the safety lamp. Even he had a healthy respect for methane gas. "Bar boys!" he bellowed, not waiting for Big King to finish watering down. They came up like ghosts in the fog. Hard behind them, the machine boys hovered with their drills. Taking calculated risks, Johnny had his drills roaring 45 minutes sooner than David DeLange would have in the same circumstances. When he came back to the face from cutting fuses and priming his explosives, he found his lashing gang struggling with a massive slab of rock that had been blown intact from the face. Five of them were beating on it with 14-pound hammers in an attempt to crack it into manageable pieces. As Johnny reached them, Big King was berating them mercilessly. "You look like a bunch of virgins grinding millet." The hammers clanged and struck sparks from the slab. Sweat oozed from every pore of the hammer boys' skin, greasing their bodies, flying from their heads in sparkling droplets with each blow. "Shire!" Big King goaded them on. "Between you all, you wouldn't crack the shell of an egg. Hit it, man! Hit it!" One by one, the men fell back exhausted, their chests heaving, gulping air through gaping mouths, blinded by their own sweat. "All right," Johnny intervened. The rock was holding up the whole blast. It warranted drastic measures to break it up. "I'll pop her," he said. And any government inspector or mine safety officer would have paled at those words. "Stand far back and turn your faces away," Big King instructed his gang. From the forehead of one of his men, he took a pair of wire mesh goggles, designed to shield the eyes from flying splinters and rock fragments. He handed them to Johnny, who placed them over his eyes. From the canvas carrying bag, he took out a stick of Dynagel. It looked like a candle wrapped in yellow greased paper. "Give me your knife." Big King opened a large clasp knife and handed it to Johnny. Carefully, Johnny cut a coin-shaped sliver of explosive from one end of the stick, a piece twice as thick as a penny. He returned the remains of the stick to the bag and handed it to Big King. "Get back," he said, and Big King moved away. Johnny eyed the slab of rock thoughtfully and then placed the fragment of Dynagel in the center of it. He adjusted the goggles over his eyes and picked up one of the 14-pound hammers. "Turn your eyes away," he warned, and took deliberate aim. Then, with a smooth overhead two-handed swing, he brought the hammer down on the Dynagel. The explosion was painful in the confined space of the drive, and afterwards Johnny's ears hummed with it. A tiny drop of blood ran down his cheek from the scratch inflicted by a flying splinter. His wrists ached from the jolt of the hammer in his hands. "Gwenyama," grunted Big King in admiration. The man is a lion. The explosion had cracked the slab into three wedge-shaped segments. Johnny pushed the goggles onto his forehead and wiped the blood from his cheek with the back of his hand. Get it the hell out of here, he grinned, and then he turned to Big King. Come. He jerked his head towards the end of the tunnel. Help me charge the holes. The two of them worked quickly, sliding the sticks of Dynagel into the shot holes and tamping them home with the charging sticks. For anyone who was not in possession of a blasting license, to charge up was an offence punishable by a fine of 100 rand or 2 months' imprisonment or both. Big King had no license, but his assistant saved 15 minutes on the operation. Johnny and his gang blew the face 5 times that day. But as they rode up in the cage into the cool evening air, he was not satisfied. Tomorrow we'll shoot her 6 times, he told Big King. Maybe 7, said Big King. Hetty was waiting for him in the lounge when he got home. She flew to him and threw her arms about his neck. Did you bring me a present? She asked with her lips against his ear, and Johnny laughed tantalizingly. It was very seldom that he did not have a gift for her. You did, she exclaimed, and began to run her hands over his pockets. There! She thrust her hand into the inside pocket of his jacket and brought out the little white jeweler's box. Oh! She opened it, and then her expression changed slightly. You don't like them? Johnny asked anxiously. How much did they cost? She inquired, as she examined the porcelain and lacquer earrings, representing 2 vividly coloured parrots. Well, Johnny looked shamefaced. You see, Hetty, it's the end of the month, you see, and, well, I'm a bit short till payday, you see, so I couldn't... How much? She said. Well, you see... He took a breath. 2 rand 50. Oh, said Hetty, they're nice. And she promptly lost interest in them. She tossed the box carelessly onto the crowded mantelpiece and set off for the kitchen. Hey, Hetty, Johnny called after her. How about we go across to Foshville? There's a dance there tonight. We go and twist, hey? Hetty turned back, her expression alive again. Gee, yes, man, she enthused. Let's do that. I'll go and change, hey? And she ran up the passage. Davy came out of his bedroom on his way to work. Hey, Davy, Johnny stopped him. You got any money on you? Are you broke again? Asked Davy. Just till payday. Hell, man, Johnny, you got a check for 1,100 at the beginning of the month. You spent it all? Next month, Johnny winked, I'm going to get a check for 2,000 or 3,000. Then watch me go. Come, Davy, lend me 50. I'm taking Hetty dancing.